young. 89 years old, she's got to be restored to do this. For I have borne him a son in his old age. It's always been God's desire to strengthen the weak. Brother Dennis was touching on that in his testimony. It's always been God's desire to take the underdog and make him the big dog. It's always been God's desire to look at a man like Gideon who's hiding and say, thou mighty man of valor, you shall smite the Midianites as one man. He's going, who, Lord? Not me. It's always been God's desire. Why? Because that's where God gets the glory. If you're strong and you're mighty already, God doesn't get any glory. You do. But God wants to strengthen the weak so that you can have the time of your life. I'm here to tell you, when Israel came out of Egypt bondage, they were having the time of their life. They were loaded with the jewels of Egypt and the treasures of Egypt and going na-na-na-na-na and walking out with all their riches. Pharaoh didn't want them back. He wanted his riches back. And I'm here to tell somebody who may be weakened by the blows of life. It could be by this time tomorrow, you could be having the time of your life. That father who waited for his son to come home, he was probably pining away. I don't know. But when he saw him coming a long ways off, he started having the time of his life. Woo! Hallelujah. Here he comes. My son, which was lost, is now found. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's put the ring on his. Put some shoes on his feet. We're fixing to have the time of our life. I'm here to tell you, everybody, your best days are not behind you. You should be in them. You should be walking in. Why? Because you should be walking in the presence of God. And where his presence is, it brings fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. Let me show you this, and I won't be much longer. A couple more hours. 1 Peter 3 and 1. Because, you see, we are the seed of Abraham, right? And we are the daughters of Sarah. That's what the book says. The seed of Abraham, the sons of Abraham, and the daughters of Sarah. So that we look at, well, what was Abraham all about? Faith in God. But I want to show you something. What was Sarah about? Faith in Abraham. I'm going to show you something. She was about faith in my Lord. The problem that we have today is Sarah don't have an Abraham. See, that's part of the problem. Because a woman should love her husband as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. It's reciprocated. So that's the problem we're having. But I want to show you this perfect combination where he had faith in God. She had faith in him. So much faith, she said, let's help God out, go into Hagar. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, not somebody else's husband, your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may not without the word be won with the conversation of the wise, while they behold your chaste or pure conversation coupled with fear. In other words, what he's saying, if you have a husband, a wife, or whatever that's not in the church, especially a husband speaking to the woman, that if you want to win that husband, don't be telling him about church trouble. Don't be telling about all the things people, how they did you wrong. Tell them about pure things, that they would desire what you have. And that's how you win them. Whose adorning, let it not be of the outward adorning, of plaiting of hair, of the wearing of the gold, or the putting on of apparel. Now, it doesn't say that these things are sin. What it says, let that not be your outward show. Let it not be what people see about you. But they need to see that meek and quiet spirit. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. Where did Sarah laugh? Yeah, in her heart. Where did she say, my Lord? In her heart. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God is great pride. Where was she and the other? What did she laugh out loud? No, she laughed within herself. And after this manner, in old times, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Even as, see where this name comes up? Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, and Abraham obeyed God, who faltered not at the promises of God, calling him Lord, whose daughters, ye are supposed to be, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amusement or terror, open terror attached. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel. Now, who does he like to make strong? The weak. And as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Mm-hmm. The most powerful prayer team on earth is a husband and a wife. And I know we have a lot of widows, and I know we have a lot of singles, but I still got to tell you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says the most powerful prayer team on earth is a husband and wife because they are one flesh. They're one flesh. If I say, honey, let's pray about such and such, you better believe we're both praying about the same thing. And it says, what you find together is the grace of life. The grace of life is that time of your life. It is the favor of God when God walks with you down the path of life. And every step of the way you find the favor of God so you can say, this step is still the time of my life. This is still the time of my life. The pit is still the time of my life. I will rejoice in the Lord at all times. Paul said in a prison cell, handcuffed, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. He was having the time of his life in a prison cell. He said, bring me some more paper. I'm not through writing yet. Time of your life, no matter what's going on in your life. As they come tonight, I'd like to sing the little song, I'll Say Yes, Lord, Yes. There's no reason why you and I know a lot of you, I probably stumped your toe to begin with, because when was the last time you said, I'm having the time of my life? It's all in perspective. If you want to look at it from the carnal standpoint, from the monetary standpoint, from the physical standpoint, you may not be. But I'm here to tell you, I don't live for the physical. I don't live for the monetary. I live for the spiritual. And he even says this. I come, not only that you might have life and have it more abundantly, he said, I come to give you wealth and I add no sorrow to it. Because that's the ultimate, because wealth usually brings sorrow. But I come that I can do anything for you and add no sorrow to it. If you will take pleasure in every step of your life, you will find life is worth living. I would dare say there's people in here tonight that has wondered at one time or another, and maybe as quick as yesterday, if life was really worth living. And the reason you question yourself and you talk to yourself, is life really worth living, is because you're not walking in the present. Because where his presence is life and pleasures forevermore. I'm here to tell you without the shadow of a doubt, God wants you to be happy today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and every day of your life, he wants you to be happy. Amen. I know where the path of life ends, and you do too, but I want to find pleasure in living every day. Do I have bad things happen? Sure, you do too. But I realize my home's not in this world. My pleasure's not really in this world. Everything that is seen is what? Temporal. And the things that are not seen are eternal. Would you stand? I'll say yes, Lord. I want to have a good time starting.